Today, we're going to build one of those small but massive DNB moves that instantly makes a loop feel like it's breathing. A warp jungle ride groove controlled by macros in Ableton Live 12. Now, this is an advanced lesson. So we're not just placing a ride and calling it done. We're going to make the ride perform. That means shaping its timing feel, brightness, tail, stereo width, saturation, and space from a few macro knobs, then automating those controls across a section so the ride evolves like part of the arrangement. In drum and bass, especially jungle, rollers, and darker neuro-influenced tracks, the ride is more than top-end decoration. It's part of the engine. The brake gives you human motion, the bass gives you weight, and the ride gives you forward pull. If you get this right, even a simple loop starts feeling like a journey instead of a repeat. So let's start with the source. Load in a short ride sample if you have one. Ideally, you want something dry, focused, and not too long in the tail. A clean belt tone is great because it cuts through a mix without turning to mush. If you don't have a sample, you can synthesize something metallic with operator or wave-eatable, but a sample is faster for this technique. On the ride track, build a simple effect chain. Start with utility, then EQ8, then saturator, then auto filter. If you want extra transition movement, add echo or reverb, but preferably keep that on a send or map it carefully so it doesn't wash out the whole part. Before processing, aim for a healthy working level, roughly around -12 to -9 dB peak. That gives you room to automate later without the ride hitting the ceiling or making the drum bus brittle. Here's the first important idea. Don't just warp the sample to correct timing. Warp it to create groove. Turn warp on and try different modes depending on the sample. Beats mode is usually the safest if the transient is sharp and you want it to stay crisp. Complex Pro can work better if the sample has more tail and you want a smoother response. Texture can be interesting if you want a slightly grainier, animated top end. For jungle or rollers, you can set the start marker just before the transient and lock it tightly to the grid. Then use subtle offsets or groove swing to bring back some human feel. The goal is not robotic precision. The goal is motion that sits with the break. If you want a good starting point, think in subtle ranges. Keep the groove amount somewhere around the mid-50s to low 60s if you want swing, but don't overdo it. In darker, more controlled sections, a little movement goes a long way. Remember, in advanced DNB, we're usually working with ranges, not huge extremes. Now we're going to turn this ride into a rack that can be performed. Group the track into an audio effect rack and map your key controls to macros. For this lesson, a really useful set is 6 macros: groove, bite, tail, width, dirt, and space. Groove is your movement control. Depending on your setup, this could be subtle timing feel, filter motion, or small delay-based shifts. Keep it restrained. You're aiming for feel, not obvious chaos. Bite is brightness and cut. Map this to a high shelf or a narrow EQ boost in the upper range, roughly around 6 to 10 kHz. This is the control that makes the ride speak a little more aggressively when the drop needs energy. Tail controls how long the ride hangs in the air. That might mean sample envelope decay, reverb decay, or wet amount depending on your chain. Short tail keeps it tight and drum-like. Longer tail creates motion and tension. Width is stereo spread. Be careful here. High-frequency stereo can sound huge and solo and messy in context, so keep the mapped range musical. In the drop, sometimes narrowing the ride actually makes the whole section feel bigger by contrast. Dirt is saturation or crunch. A little drive adds density and makes the ride feel more integrated with the drums. Too much, and it gets fizzy fast. Bass controls delay or reverb send. This is your transition knob. Use it for fills, phrase endings, and build moments, not as a constant effect. Rename the macros right away. That sounds basic, but in a serious workflow it matters. If you can read the rack instantly, you can move faster and think musically instead of mechanically. Now let's shape the actual motion. In arrangement view, write automation over 8 or 16 bars. Think like a producer, not like a knob tweaker. You want the ride to progress with the phrase. A strong starting move is this. In the first 4 bars, keep groove low, bite moderate, tail short, and width narrow. That gives you a stable, grounded intro feel. Then over the next 4 bars, gradually raise bite and space so the ride starts to open up. In the next phrase, push groove a little more and add some dirt to make it feel more animated and gritty. Then, right before the drop or section change, pull tail down briefly so the space tightens, and then open it up hard on the downbeat. That kind of phrase-based movement is what makes the ride feel like arrangement glue. You're not just making it louder, you're teaching it how to behave. Here's a coach note that's really important. The best macro moves are often small and cumulative. A 3 to 8% shift can feel huge if the context changes around it. You do not need giant sweeps everywhere. In fact, in darker DNB, tiny changes can feel more expensive and more intentional than obvious ones. To make the ride feel warped rather than simply filtered, add subtle rhythmic variation. Echo can be brilliant here if you keep it short and controlled. Try sync delay times like 1/16th or dotted eighth, low feedback, and a filtered return so it stays above the muddy zone. Gate can also work if you want chop tails. Auto filter is another great piece of the puzzle, especially if you map cutoff to a macro and let it sweep slowly across an 8-bar phrase. The reason this works in drum and bass is simple. Top-end motion creates perceived complexity without overcrowding the kick, snare, and bass relationship. The listener feels energy, but the low end stays disciplined. Now let's talk about the relationship with the rest of the drums. Your ride should support the break, not fight it. If the break already has busy hats or ghosted top-end details, carve the ride so it occupies its own lane. Use EQ8 to high-pass it, often somewhere around 250 to 500 Hz depending on the source. If there's a harsh stick attack that's stepping on the snare or ghost notes, notch a little around the upper mid-harsh zone. And if the ride needs more air, add a gentle shelf, but only if the mix can handle it. Also, check the ride against the ghost notes, not just the main kick and snare. In DNB, the in-between hits are where the groove lives. If the ride masks that bounce, the whole loop can feel stiff even if it sounds exciting by itself. If you want extra glue, route the ride to a drum bus and use light compression there. A glue compressor with a moderate attack and a release that breathes can hold the ride in place without flattening your automation moves. Just a dB or two of gain reduction is often enough. Now for the advanced move, resample the motion. Once the macro performance feels good, record a 4 or 8 bar pass of the processed ride. Then chop that resampled audio into performance-friendly pieces. This is huge for jungle edits, intro fills, and drop switch-ups. You can reverse a hit, truncate a tail, or use a clipped version as a texture layer under the original. That gives you the sense that the arrangement has evolved, not just repeated. This is also where you can get really creative with contrast. Keep a cleaner live version for one section, then switch to a resampled, degraded version for the breakdown or a switch-up. Even a subtle layer of resampled grit can make the track feel more alive and more age-authentic, especially in jungle-inspired material. A really useful arrangement approach is to think in section states. For the intro, keep the ride narrow, dry, and controlled. In the build, increase space and dirt, and let the filter open gradually. In drop 1, keep the width tight if the bass is busy, but let bite and groove do more of the work. In a midsection switch-up, cut bite for a couple bars, then bring it back hard on a fill. In the outro, pull back on dirt and space so the track becomes DJ-friendly and cleaner. If you're using session view, you can think in clip and scene terms too, but the core idea stays the same. The ride should evolve in phrases, not random little gestures. One more big warning. Don't automate width like it's volume. Width changes are most effective when they happen at phrase boundaries. In the middle of a dense drop, narrowing the ride slightly can actually make the section feel bigger. That contrast is powerful. Too much width on high-frequency material can also get facey in mono, so check your rack there regularly. Always hit mono for a reality check. If the ride disappears, gets brittle, or starts sounding smeared, your stereo treatment is probably too aggressive. Make sure the ride doesn't interfere with the snare snap zone, and keep all low-end energy out of the chain entirely. DNB mixes are often won or lost on restraint. A ride that's just a little too wide or a little too bright can make the whole drop feel cheap. If you want to push this even further, split the ride into two chains. One chain can be brighter and more compressed, the other darker and shorter with more saturation. Then map a macro to blend between them using the chain selector. That gives you a clean, vicious transition without changing the source sample. It's a very slick advanced workflow. Another good idea is to build a pressure macro. Map one knob to several small changes at once, slight filter rise, slight saturation increase, slight reverb send reduction, and slight stereo narrowing. That creates a tightening feeling that reads like tension building, even if the listener can't name exactly what changed. And if you want a reverse energy variant, duplicate the rack and invert the behavior. Let brightness drop as space rises, let width narrow as tail grows, and use it for breakdowns or inward-feeling switch-ups. That kind of mirrored design is incredibly useful in longer arrangements. Before we wrap, here's the core exercise I'd want you to try. Build a 16-bar ride performance rack. Load the sample, make the rack, map the 6 macros, and program a simple 1-bar or 2-bar ride pattern that loops across the whole section. Then automate bite to rise across the first 8 bars, shorten tail before bar 9, let space throw up on the phrase endings, and narrow width. If the drop gets busy, duplicate the idea and make a second version that feels more jungle-like by increasing groove and dirt a little. Then resample your favorite 8-bar pass and listen in mono. The goal is to walk away with 2 usable ride variations, 1 cleaner, 1 darker. Both should work as intro material, build tension, or drop support without rebuilding the patch from scratch.